You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody today, and it's good to be gathered together for worship. Thanks, Kip, and the praise team. So you might be wondering, why is that picture of a girl with an inner tube up there? So before I preach this morning, my role is director of missions, or we have a new title. We've been all kind of things. Associational mission strategist, associational missionary. I like what one guy at South Florence said. Hey, you're that associational dude. So I like that pretty good. I can be your associational dude if that suits you. But anyway, I wanted to take just a few minutes and kind of walk through the whole idea of Southern Baptist. We're not like a lot of other animals in the church world, okay? Maybe you've come from a denomination before you were part of this church that has a hierarchy, and there's somebody at the top, and it kind of works its way down to your local churches. Likewise, you might have a non-denominational church. Non-denominational churches now are greater than in number Southern Baptist churches, which are the largest Protestant denomination. And so there's not the connection. So you've got churches that have connection with a top-down approach, and then you have churches that don't really have a connection, and then you have Southern Baptist churches that choose to cooperate. Now, I can tell you it's like herding cats. I'm not in charge of anything. I can tell you something that I would advise, and you can choose to do totally opposite. We can come together and we can work together on different things. So Southern Baptist churches actually start with a member, a person, if you will. Now, this is my youngest daughter, Lily Smith. That was about the time that she made faith in Christ and was baptized, and then we soon moved here, and I would take this role as director of missions, and we ended up joining Grace Baptist Church. Okay, now that one is now at University of South Carolina. Go Tigers! I'm sorry. Anyway. Okay, so you've got one person, you've got one church, and then there's a local connection. And that's what I'm a part of. So the next slide, of course, will tell us that there is one association, and that is Florence Baptist Association. Okay. So Southern Baptist churches in the county, with the exception of a few along the county line that are connected to Williamsburg, that goes back hundreds of years. We're old people, okay? Anyway, so here's a list of the churches, if you will. And so we all choose to together in association. All right, next slide. So many churches, many associations. You see the bottom slide, it just shows you the different ones. Some of them are named like we are, Florence. There's Columbia Metro, which is actually Richland and Fairfield County. Some of them have names that go back in Baptist history. Near us, Darlington, Hartsville area, the Welsh Neck Baptist Association. There's a Welsh Neck Baptist Church in Society Hill, which was one of the first four churches of the First Baptist Association in the state of South Carolina, in the South completely, for that matter. All right, next slide. Then, of course, you've got one state convention. So you've got people, members, make up a church, churches come together, part of a local association of churches, and then connected to the South Carolina Baptist Convention. All right, so let's stop here a little bit and talk about money, all right? So when you give to your church, you will support a lot of ministries, whether you know it or not, because this church gives money to the local association, and we're grateful for that. I've gotten one off the payroll, but I've still got Drew at home and then Lily at Carolina, so I like to get paid. Likewise, so does Lou Ann and Summer. But anyway, so it does that, and it does a lot of the ministry that we do together as churches, and I'll say more about that in a minute. But you also give to the cooperative program. So What happens with that money, whatever percentage or whatever amount this church chooses to move along, it first goes to the state. It's not exact, but it's about a 50-50 money that stays here in the state. Well, what does that money fund? Well, it funds a lot of things. It funds the convention that has a lot of people that help us with a lot of different things. Church planting, obviously. Church revitalization, obviously. If you have some issues and you want to know about some things with your building or with your music, there's somebody there that can answer a lot of those things. And likewise, strategizing and trying to figure out how we can saturate the state of South Carolina with the gospel message. And so it also funds institutions, all right? I'm a Charleston Southern grad. I know, of course, you have folks connected with Anderson, okay? You got Jennings, you've got Caleb that's made his way through and will continue to study, I think, but is on staff there. Also, you have North Greenville. You have the Connie Maxwell Children's Home, okay? We have a branch of that here in Florence that is for teenage girls. Not sure if you knew that or not, but those are things that are funded. When you move on outside of the state, you have seminaries, you have other institutions, and of course, you're funding foreign missions, those that are all over the world, missionaries that we send, we cooperate, we pool our money, we come together, we fund them and send them to all areas of the world. And likewise, here in North America, so you have North American missions, Canada, United States, Mexico, some of the islands, and then, of course, everything beyond that, all right? So that's how things are going. Next slide. Of course, many state conventions, just like us, and then the Southern Baptist Convention, so all of that goes together. Next slide. All right, so here it is. You've got one person, one church, one association, one state convention, all part of the bigger picture of Southern Baptist. Next slide. All right, so what happens in an association? Well, there's a lot of different ministries. You can see a few of those, mission trips and ministry out at the fair, different things. Let's flip through these real quick because I really do want to preach. Provide assistance to churches. We want to help you do your best, okay? We don't tell you what to do. We try to help you as we have the opportunity. Network. Well, somebody will call me. I need a job description for a minister of music or worship leader. Okay, let me check with a couple of other churches, get you some. You can take those. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just one little example. Provide support for church staff, education opportunities, counseling. Serve as a hub for cooperation. South Carolina Baptist, OCC, what is it? What happens? Come on. Shoe boxes. Okay, Operation Christmas Child. Big Luann in our office. You find her at Calvary when everybody's bringing them together and we're sending them out on the big tractor trailers. BCM, Baptist Collegiate Ministries. CLC, anybody been to CLC class, middle school? Release time education, okay? They leave the middle school, they go to a local church, they're taught the Bible, they go back to the middle school. Likewise, CEF, Child Evangelism, news clubs, what else? DR, disaster relief, just to name a few. Coordinate ministries that involve multiple churches. We do fair ministry, life changers that we have are in the process of changing up and making it something new. Bliss ball, special needs prom. Hopefully you've heard of it. And then, of course, other kinds of mission activities. And new this year, used to be a big thing, but new Raceway ministry at the race coming up next weekend in Darlington. What does a director of missions do? He sleeps on the airplane after a long, tiring mission trip, okay? And other things, obviously. But direct ministry that the churches do together, mission partnerships, we did a few years ago, we clustered some churches together and did a January Bible study. Of course, disaster relief again, assist churches in various ways, training, revitalization. I serve as pastor to the pastors and staff. Sometimes that's counseling, facilitate study groups, encourage, promote and encourage support of SBC institutions and ministries. As I mentioned, the cooperative program, Connie Maxwell, DR, other things. All right, just some quick pictures, life changers in Florence area, working on homes of those that are less fortunate, fair ministry, blood pressure, cut hair, do a devotion, bliss ball, partnership in Akron and Canton, Ohio. We had a good many people from this congregation that were a part of that. Next slide. Not too long ago, a church in Goose Creek that we worked. These are two church planters in New Brunswick, Canada, that we worked with over the course of about 6 years. Special needs ministry in Nicaragua. We've been interrupted twice, once with COVID, once with political situations. These three that I had my picture with all came to Christ one night. First time I'd ever preached with a turkey walking behind me back and forth. Got close to dark and went in a tree and roosted, and I didn't have to worry about that anymore. So that's just a little listen. I want to help you understand if you've heard all this and you say, oh, what in the world? Listen, I'd love to help you understand how all of the ministry comes together and cooperates. My dad Baptist pastor, so I probably paid way too much attention to that stuff when I was a kid, but that's what God intended so that I would be in the position that I'm in now. So let's turn to God's Word and look in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And it's a situation where we begin to hear a little bit about Jesus being the Lord of the harvest. He had just driven out a demon, as far as the account that we have in Matthew, and tells us, beginning in verse 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one that has paid the price to satisfy the wrath of God against our sinful state. And Lord, we pray that your word would speak to our hearts. We pray that your that is always in agreement with your word would stir within us, that we would hear from you in these moments and understand what you're trying to teach us from this passage of Scripture. And then for it, Lord, I pray that we would be grateful. And whatever the lesson is, that it would be learned and that it would be applied to our lives and that it would bring you glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to see four things from this passage of Scripture. And the first one is this: Jesus went. Jesus went. Tells us that he went to the cities, the villages, and what was he doing? He was teaching in their synagogues, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, notice that all of that comes first. A lot of times we focus on the healing that Jesus did, but what it tells us first that he went with the purpose of declaring the gospel. All throughout the gospel account, we see Jesus going. He moved among the people. And as he moved among the people, he saw people that had many of the same problems that people have today. We don't always realize that. We don't always think about that. But let me just throw out a few examples. One time, Jesus came in contact with the person that we know from Scripture as the rich young ruler. In other words, he was rich. And he had a problem. He had a problem with money and material things. And ultimately, he came and he asked Jesus, you know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And of course, ultimately, he tells him, yes, you have to do this. But one thing you still lack, that's sell everything that you've got and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And one of the accounts in the scripture says that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And he told him that, even though Jesus knew that he would ultimately walk away. You see, Jesus looked at him and loved him, even though he knew that he was not willing to give up his possessions. He was not willing to do what it would ultimately take, as he asked for it and Jesus told him. He was not willing to walk away and receive eternal life. There was a woman at the well. Now, the woman at the well, we could probably say, had relationship problems. She had been married multiple times and had given up on marriage. She was, as we call sometimes today, cohabitating. And yet Jesus met her where she was. And he questioned her. And ultimately she found new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. She found the living water in the Lord Jesus Christ. But she started out as a person who was terribly troubled. She had all of these failed relationships, and then she had given up on what God had intended in marriage, and instead she was just hanging out with her significant other. But she found something there at the well. There was Martha. You probably remember the story of Mary and Martha. Martha was distracted with much as her sister Mary sat at the feet of Jesus to listen to his teaching. Martha, see, had an attitude problem. She had a bad attitude toward her sister because what was important to her was not important to her sister. She was about the appearance of the house. She was more concerned about the hospitality, to the point that she was mad at her sister. So you see, Jesus went about, and as he went, he encountered people with problems. We've all got problems. We've got issues. We've got baggage. And most of the time, it's all the result of sin. Sometimes it's not even the result of our sin personally, one little piece of baggage. It might be the result of somebody else's sin that it ended up having an effect on us in our life. Went. We still go, and we still have opportunity as Jesus had opportunity. Well, what's different with Jesus? Well, the second thing is this. He was moved with compassion. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them. Jesus was not distracted by the problems, as he was concerned about the person. Now, I got to be very honest with you here. I've been a believer for many, many years, and I have been in ministry for many years, and I still have problems separating the problem or the issue from the person. You see, yes, there are some sins that are more visible. Are some things that you see, some illnesses that you see, more symptoms, if you will. But the reality is we're all sick. Reality is sin continues to plague us in the world that we live in, even those of us that are believers, and we've been freed from the penalty of sin, and God indwells us, but still there's the temptation. We still fall at times. And so even in a place of leadership, I continue to have problems looking beyond the fault and seeing the need. But ministry's dirty. Think about the people that Jesus came in contact with. He didn't mind touching the leper, even though everybody believed if you touched them, then you would get leprosy. He didn't mind reaching out to the prostitute. He dealt with those that others were tired of dealing with. He cast out demons and the crazed man that was chained to keep from harming himself or harming others and was hanging out in the tombs naked. Well, after Jesus touched him and after Jesus ministered to him, it says that he was clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Here was an instance. So the last church that I pastored before I came in this role was in Rockingham, North Carolina. And so I had a full-time youth pastor. We had a situation on the courthouse steps. We would do a National Day of Prayer event every year. And so we set up chairs and we had sound system and different things. And so we would go through a service of about an hour. People would also bring their chairs and we'd have a good turnout. There'd be, you know, over 100 people there. And so we were breaking down from that. And there was just one little area for people to go up the stairs to get to the courthouse to take care of their business. And so there was a lady that pulled up and parked in a van, and about four children rumbled out. Looked like stair steps, you know, probably two and four and maybe six, eight, whatever. And so this lady, how can I say it delicately, but she really didn't have on enough clothes. Okay? And every skin that you could see that you didn't see, all of it, was covered in tattoos. Okay? And she did not look very happy, all right? And so I was sitting here thinking, now, what can I do to help this situation, you know? And I'm thinking, maybe I just need to move stuff as fast as I can and hope she can get through and there won't be any problems. I was really thinking about her and the four children, because I had three. I knew what that could be like, and same time, I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to get tangled up with this lady. I just tell it like it is, okay? So here comes my youth pastor. Walks right up to the lady and says, "Hey, we just had a National Day of Prayer event. We're cleaning up. I hope we're not going to cause you any issues. Who did your ink?" You know how terrible it is for a senior pastor to learn a lesson from a youth pastor. That's not the way it's supposed to be. So the rest of the story, a relationship developed with that lady and her children. Found out she lived near one of our members. She didn't end up coming and being a part of our church, but she was ministered to, and I believe she got active in another church that was a little closer. So there was the senior pastor. I don't want to get involved in this. And the youth pastor saw something that she was obviously interested in and asked about it. I keep telling that story because I hope it keeps reminding me of that lesson. That's what Jesus done. Jesus would have found a place. He would have seen a need. He would have understood something. And ultimately, he would have ministered to that lady regardless of her situation. You see, we do have a hard time looking and seeing the person that Christ died for, just like he died for you and for me. You see, Jesus describes the people here, and he describes them as weary and scattered. Now, another translation there says that he had compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected. Many in our day are tired. People are tired. We're going through a time where inflation is rampant. And you know, we throw around $50 bills now like we used to throw around $20 bills. And people haven't got a raise, and so they're trying to figure out how to make everything work, and it's tiresome. And then you got the kids that they don't quite understand that. They want the same thing. You know, why can't we stop and get Happy Meals? People are tired because they're chasing something. They're chasing something that has no ultimate worth, no ultimate value. It might be wealth. It might be fame like the rich young ruler. It might be that perfect relationship or that soulmate like the woman at the well had trouble finding. It could be an attitude problem. It could be the attitude of entitlement. It could be the attitude of racism. It could be the attitude of many things. It could be some of the demons like the demon-possessed man had. It could be the demons of alcohol or the demons of drug or but let me tell you, there's no shortage of people like that, and those are the people that make up the harvest. Florence County, a few years back, the South Carolina Baptist Convention put out the 100 top spots of lostness in the state of South Carolina. Now, I don't know about you, but I think about Florence. I think about all the churches, But in Florence County, they named four. Simply, Florence, Timminsville, Lake City, and Johnsonville. See, right here in Florence County, four of the top 100 spots of lostness. And that was a higher than normal proportion of lost people. It's kind of hard to believe, but it's true. Well, third thing, Jesus pointed out a problem. He pointed out a problem. Not enough people going out into the harvest. Now, like I said, we go, we do things. Think about it, Labor Day weekend coming up, college football games started, the interstates will be full, the flags will be flying, people will be coming to Darlington for the race. We go, we just don't go with lost people on our mind. We're not seeing people as Jesus sees people. We see the things about people and we identify them. And we put them in a category. And maybe they're bad or maybe they're negative or maybe they're dirty. And too many times we kind of push that person away. But I challenge you right now to think about the most lost time or moment in your life. Maybe the worst thing that you've ever done. And then ask yourself, if Jesus loved you enough to save you, can He save another person with problems that are evident because of sin? You see, too often we make it too hard. We think, oh, well, we've got to know the right scriptures to be able to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe we think, well, you know, I don't have a system. I don't have a program. Maybe I need to learn a particular way to do it. And there's so many out there. But you know, everybody's got a story. It may not be the story of the woman at the well. It may not be the demon-possessed man that was clothed and seated at Jesus' feet in his right mind. But you've got a story. You've got a story about how Lord Jesus Christ has changed your life, if He has. And if He has not yet, then you have an opportunity. We've got an opportunity. Some years ago when I pastored in Northeast Columbia, we had a church softball team and we had a place at Killian Park where we played. And there were woods on the other side of a road that came down. And every once in a while, a foul ball would get hit over there. So we were waiting to play the next game. A ball was hit over there. And I went over there to get it. And all of a sudden, I saw berries. And I looked, and there were berries everywhere. The locals call them sparkle berries. They're wild blueberries. They're small, but they were everywhere. They were low. They were high. They were this way. They were that way. I mean, really, they were everywhere. And so as I looked and walked and picked and ate, and they went on and on and on in every direction, I thought, you know, sometimes you can find yourself right in the middle of something and you could miss it because of what you came there to do. I came to retrieve a foul ball. But I ran into something that I loved because I love fruit. I love berries. My mind said, wow, I'm going to come back over here when we're not playing ball. I'm going to pick a bunch of these things. Make muffins or something else. See, we got people that need Jesus everywhere. They're everywhere in Florence. They're everywhere in Timminsville, everywhere in Johnsonville. Everywhere that we go, in the school, in the workplace, whatever we're doing, we can find people that need a Savior. So Jesus pointed out a problem, and the problem was that there aren't enough people in the harvest. Aren't enough people picking those that Jesus has set aside to hear the word of witness about Him and to hear the good news of salvation in Christ. But Jesus doesn't point out a problem without providing a solution. So He gave the solution. He gave the solution, and we read it here in the scripture. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." That's the issue. That's the problem. That's what needs to be addressed. Therefore, here's the solution. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Now, there are a couple things to notice there. We're asking the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. All right? Now, there's a phrase that I stay away from. It's a legitimate phrase, and I'm not, downing anybody that uses it. But sometimes we use the phrase soul winning. Okay? Now, unfortunately, and I'm a very competitive person, so the idea is if you don't win, you lose. All right? I mean, runner-up. They talk about kissing your sister or something like that, Runner-up's the first loser. So there's the whole idea of winning. But you see, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is about harvest. This is about His harvest. We haven't died for anybody, but the Lord Jesus Christ has. All we have is an opportunity to share the message. And so you see, we win if we share the message. Because we're telling somebody else about how Jesus changed our life. We're telling somebody else about the church that we're a part of and how people's lives are changed there as they're ministered to. And as they come under the hearing of the gospel and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The solution. Pray for God to send out workers. And don't be surprised if He begins to open your eyes to the harvest around you. Some of us start in our very home. My main concern about my three children was that ultimately each one would come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We go beyond that to our extended families. We've got somebody that we'll tell other people to pray for, and we want other people to pray for, and we'll try to share the gospel, and we hope others will try to share the gospel. But don't miss the harvest in the home. Don't miss the harvest in the workplace. Yeah, you may not be able to openly talk during the workday, but you can cultivate that relationship and you can show that you care for somebody that ultimately they're going to come to you in a time of struggle or crisis, and the door will be wide open for you to tell them about the hope that's in you because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't miss the harvest at the ball field or the hair salon or wherever you go, because there's a potential harvest. Pray for the Lord to send out into the harvest. Pray. Pray for myself, Luann, and Summer in our office as we coordinate the ministry that we all do together. Pray for your pastors and staff here at Southside Baptist Church as they are seeking to have an impact through the ministry of this church. Pray for the other churches. You see, we're in this together. It's not a competition. Oh, we want this place. This place going back to two services, likewise in other congregations. Pray for your sister churches. Pray for your pastor search team, because ultimately whoever stands here as your next pastor is going to have a big impact. But most importantly, pray that the Lord of the harvest will give you the eyes of the harvester, Jesus. Pray that you'll see beyond the need or the problem and see the person that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. And remember, if you know Him, that He died for you. In spite of all problems, all your baggage. So first and foremost, the invitation is this. Maybe you have not yet become a part of the harvest. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to you and you understood, hey, I've got this sin problem and I can't do anything about it, but I've heard that Jesus has done all that's required. And it just means that I receive the gift of salvation and yield my life to God's leadership and open myself up and allow Him to be my Lord and my Savior and move me forward in this life as a follower of Christ. So you have the opportunity this morning. Joshua's going to be down front in a minute during our time of decision. With him that decision, or you can share with him that question, or you can share with him, I'm seeking, and let him pray with you, whatever it may look like. But then for those of us that are believers, those of us that are part of the harvest already, you see, we have to be a part of the harvesting. Would you recommit yourself to pray and ask the Lord to send others into the harvest? Would you recommit yourself and pray and say, Lord, how can I be a part of the harvest? What can I do? He'll tell you. He'll move you where He wants you to go, and you'll be who He wants you to be if you yield to Him. Let's pray.